1 Corinthians 12:12 through 13. For just as the body is one and yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit.
Good morning. Good to have you with us today. We've got a few visitors among us. Not a great deal, but we do have a few. We had a great deal last week, but we've got a few among us today. I want y'all to meet Jennifer and Clay before you get out the door. That's Gary's mother and stepfather. I want you to meet them before they get out the door and make sure they feel welcome. And tell them that we want them to move here and out of Tennessee so that they can live here and come worship with us. So that's what we want. That's what we want. It's good to be with you today. It is really good to be with you today. I want to start out by telling you a story that I read. It's one of the few stories I'm going to tell you that's not about me. I've done a lot of stupid things in my life, and I like to tell you all those things. But I want you to hear this story because it was one that I read about this Church of Christ preacher. And this Church of Christ preacher was over at an apartment complex, and he was visiting a lady that was well up in years. And this lady was basically homebound. She couldn't get out. She couldn't go anywhere. And he was taking communion to her and sitting and visiting with her and talking with her and spending a little time with her. Well, when he got done, he left her room and started out into the parking lot where his car was. And he noticed out in the parking lot there were some young boys out playing basketball. And one of the young boys he recognized because that young boy had been attending the church where he was a preacher. And so he knew him as one of the church members there. And so the young boy looked up and saw him coming out, and he pointed to his friends and pointed to him, and he said, "Look, there goes the Church of Christ. There goes the Church of Christ." Now the story goes on to say that the preacher really didn't feel like it was appropriate at that time to explain to him about the church and all these different things. So he just waved at the boy and went on, got in his car and started to drive away. Well, as he was driving away, one of the things came to his mind. The little boy was exactly correct. The little boy was exactly correct. Because, folks, what we are the church. We are that church. We are those individuals. And I used to tell, when I was coaching, I would always tell my players that they were representatives of the school in which we played, or we played for. So when I was coaching at Greenwood and we'd go out and play different places, I'd always tell the boys, I said, "I want you to act a certain way. I want you to act right because you're representing your school. You're representing your school." And I told them, I said, "If the officials need to be talked to, I'll be the one that talks to the officials. You don't do that. You don't say anything negative to another team member on the other side. You don't say anything negative to your own team members. You are nothing but positive influence for your team and for everybody else that sees you play. Have you ever played men's church league softball? Oh my gosh. Let me tell you something. I'll tell you this story. Now this one did happen to me. Okay? We were playing in this church league softball league in Fort Smith. And it just so happened that everybody on our church league team, and we all went to church together, so we didn't recruit anybody from outside. We all went to church together. We went to West Ark Church of Christ at the time. But all of us on that team had played college baseball. Now, if you think about it in that regard, you could easily say that we were probably pretty talented. Because there were some guys on there that were good. Not included in that, but they were. They were really good. They were capable of playing very well. And so it was really, to be honest with you, it was really a stacked team of ex-college players. And so we were out there and we were playing this one church team. And we started kind of beating them pretty bad. Not because we were trying to run up the scores, just because we were a lot better than they were. And we were beating them really bad. And they'd get up to bat, and they'd get three up, three down, and we'd get up to bat, and we'd stay out there a long time hitting, you know, we'd move people over. We played the game, and they weren't able to play it the way that we were able to play it. And so what happened was they began to cuss us, church league softball, okay? They began to cuss us. And I remember one time we hit the ball out in the outfield and I came running in from third base and I came across home plate. And when I came across home plate, their catcher shoved me. And when he did, I just turned around and I looked at him and said, "What church are y'all from?" That didn't make him repent, by the way. Matter of fact, that made him cuss me all the more. But I want you to understand that when we are out in the world, we are the church. And I also want you to understand that while we are the church, I want you to realize that a lot of times, people out in the world, the only church they see is in you. That's all I've ever seen. I was shocked when I was a high school principal. How many young people, 16, 17, 18-year-old students, had never been to a church of any kind, anywhere, anytime? And I even asked this one, I was so shocked by that. I said, "Have you ever been to church?" He said, "No, I've never been." I said, "You've never been to a church in your life?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, have you ever gone to a funeral?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, did you go to a church at the funeral?" He said, "No. We just had it at the funeral home." I said, "Well," I said, "have you ever been to a wedding?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Did you go to a church at the wedding?" He said, "No, we just had it outside." I said, "So you're telling me that you've never, you're 17 years old, and you have never been in a church building in your life?" He said, "No." And that made me realize that the only church that young man had ever seen was me. Because we are that church. That church is in us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And folks, the only way that these people out there in the world see that is through you. You are that Holy Spirit. You are the church. You are the one that brings them to Christ. Because what you are doing every time you walk out this door, every time you go out into the world, what you are doing is you are planting a seed. And I want you to realize the seed that you're planting. Because you're either planting a seed for God, which will bear fruit for Him, or you're planting a seed for Satan, which bears fruit for Satan. Realize the difference. Because there is a difference. Now, in looking at this, I want you to understand. We are Christ's church. We are. And in the King James Version, as you read right there in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, God added to the church daily. If you have been baptized into the into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, guess what? You have been added to that church. We are part of that church. That Spirit is dwelling in us. And therefore, we have been added to that church. And that church, Jesus talks about, is the rock that shall not be moved. Hades, hell, Satan will not rise up against it. It will overcome all things. That is the church in which we belong. We are that church. Also look at this. We are His kingdom. The church and the kingdom can be used interchangeably. But understand this. We are God's kingdom. Christ is our king. He is in the order of Melchizedek, in which He is both priest and king. He is our king. Therefore, we have a king that shall not fail. We have a kingdom that shall not fail. All other kingdoms will be done away. There's no kingdom on this earth that will last. None. If you've studied history the way that I've studied history, I can tell you up front, without a doubt, that every kingdom on this earth will cease to exist. Every kingdom. Every king. It will cease to exist. But the only king that will last forever is Christ. The only kingdom that will last forever is the one in which we belong. We are that kingdom. We are His. Also realize this. We are one body. We are one in thought. We are one in mind. We are one in spirit. We are one body together. And just because you think that you're not, I'm going to tell you, you are. You are part of our body. I've had people say, well, I'm not worth anything. Yes, you are. They can't figure out what a little toe is worth. Y'all realize that? They say, oh, you can do without a little toe. Well, stump that little toe on a rocking chair and see what happens to your whole body. Your whole body comes running to that little toe, doesn't it? And you grab that little toe. And I told y'all this story before, but it's worth telling again, where a friend of mine got this little part of his hand caught in a riser as we were putting it up. And he started screaming. And I saw what he had done, and I grabbed the riser and I lifted it up, and he got his hand out, and he started saying something so fast I couldn't understand what he was saying. And then as the pain began to subside just a little bit, I could make out what he was saying. And you know what he was saying? He was saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And he told me, he said, I learned from my daddy years ago that if I say something good with as much enthusiasm as I'd say something bad, it works the same. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Folks, that little bit of skin right there, his whole body went to it. Folks, when one of you hurt, our whole body comes to you. That's the way it should be. That's why we are here together. As it was brought up just a minute ago, the fact that we are here together is a blessing in times of need. That we are part of that body, and therefore every one of us goes to that person who is hurting. That's the way it should be. And like I said, even if you think you're not worth anything, that you're just that little toe, stump that little toe and see what happens. But also, one of the things that I want to bring up to you is this. If you think you can't do anything, you pray. We've got some people that need to be prayed for right here, right now. There are things that are occurring right here, right now that are really problems for the people that are suffering through those things. And there has been many over the last few weeks. Kathy and I have had 4 people that we know that have passed away in the last 3 weeks. Folks, those people need your prayers. And when you pray, realize that you are calling upon the Creator of the universe. There is no greater power. So if you're like my mother was, to the point that she was unable to do very much, I kept telling her, I said, Mom, you could pray, because what you're doing is you're calling upon the power of the universe. And in calling upon the power of the universe, we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. All things. Every part of the body has a purpose. Every one of us has a purpose. You cannot be cast out, because when you leave, we lose one of our members, one of our body parts, the purpose. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 tells us this. We are ambassadors for Christ. Just like I told you about my teams that would go out. And it was always real funny with our teams that we would go out and whatnot. And you know, I coached baseball for 27 years, coached football for 8 years, and coached basketball for 1 year, and that was enough. But I coached all these different sports and all these different kids and all these different age groups, because I coached from 6-year-olds all the way up to 22-year-olds. And I'd tell them, we are ambassadors for our team. And it was so interesting to me, because sometimes, the umpires would make an error. Y'all ever seen that before? Umpire makes a bad call. And I'll never forget this. This happened twice while I was coaching. Umpires made a bad call, and the people in the bleachers stood up and started yelling at the umpire. And I stepped out. All those parents up there in the bleachers knew my rule with the boys and whatnot. And I'd step out, and twice this happened, I just raised up my hand to the parents in the stands like this. And they stopped yelling and they sat down. And I went out and had a talk with the umpire. Now, the umpires also knew me so well that they would not argue with me at all. Because the only time that I would talk to them in a situation like that is if they made a mistake. And it was so funny one time that we had runners at first and second, and I had my batter got up and laid down a bunt, and it was a perfect bunt. It was just as beautiful as it could be. And it was right down the third baseline, and I said, oh, that's great. And it's just rolling, real short. And the third baseman was standing there looking at it, and the pitcher was standing there looking at it, and the catcher was standing there looking at it. And it stopped rolling. And the umpire goes, foul! It wasn't foul. It was fair. And I was on third base, and I just started walking toward the umpire, and the umpire just looked at me, and he raised his hand, and he says, I know, I messed up. And all I said to him was, as long as you know. And I turned around and went back to my spot. Now, I tell you that because there's no place for us to act out. And folks, there are times that bad things are going to happen. Wrong things are going to happen. And yet there's still no place for us as ambassadors for Christ to act anything other than Christ-like. Remember what Jesus Christ said about those who abused him, who hung him on the cross, who said, oh, manner of evil against him falsely. All these things happened. Remember what Jesus said to them about them? He prayed to God and he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Remember Stephen, when he was being stoned to death, what did he say? He said, Lord, do not lay this sin to their charge. He forgave them. Folks, that's exactly what we should do. Acting as Christ would act in every aspect of our lives. Because folks, there's so many people out there in this world that we're the only Christ-like thing they'll ever see. Realize that. We are created for the purpose of doing good works. That's doing good to one another. Helping one another along the way. Lifting people up when they fall. Encouraging people. Striving to help them in any way that we can. And bring them to Christ. This is our purpose. We are created for that purpose. Don't forget this. Do unto others as what? You'd have them do unto you. That doesn't mean do unto others before they can do unto you. That doesn't mean that, does it? That doesn't mean that if they treat you badly, that you should treat them badly. That means we need to be Christ-like in every aspect, in every way. And if you treat one another the way that you're supposed to treat one another, then guess what? People take notice. We talked about this on our Wednesday night class. Folks, people are watching you. They know where you attend church. They know where you come to worship. They know who you are associated with, and they watch you. Just like that church league team. I looked at that church league team. I said, what church do y'all go to? Folks, I want you to know, they were ambassadors for that church. And I went away thinking, I will never attend that church in my entire life. That's not the way it should be. So therefore, we should always treat one another as we would want to be treated. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about 10. I want you to know I loved 10. Loved it. Sat right back yonder on Sunday mornings. Sat right over here on Sunday night and Wednesday night right next to Brad. He had his assigned seat. And if he wasn't there, I took notice. Whenever something like this happens, when we lose a loved one, or something bad happens to us along the way, realize that this is a test of faith. Okay? Now, it's not a test of Ted's faith. It's a test of our faith. Knowing that a person like Ted, who was here when the doors were open, Ted has hope of an eternal salvation with God. And I believe strongly that he is with Jesus Christ in paradise today. I believe that strongly. And those of you who know Ted that are saying amen right now, those of you who know him who are saying that, think the same way that I think. Because we know what kind of person he was. And therefore, he has hope of eternal salvation. He believed. He was baptized. He repented. He was faithful. And therefore, we can say that he has that opportunity to go to heaven. And he does. But realize that's a test of our faith. Because in times like this, we suffer. We weep. We cry. We miss this one who is with us. But what we should be doing is focusing more on our faith. Because when we have somebody like that who leaves us, I want you to understand it is not forever. Because one day, we will go to be with him where he is. And if you were to ask him today, right now, if you were to ask him, say, Tim, would you come back and be with us here? He would say no. Because he wants us to be with him there. Be with him there. And remember, Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man had 5 brothers that were still on this earth. And he said, send Lazarus back so that my brothers will not come to the place where I am, because he was in a place of torment. And they said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He could not send Lazarus back. But Lazarus wouldn't want to come back anyway. Lazarus wants you to be with him. Ted wants you to be with him. And so realize that our faith being tested, our faith in an eternity, our faith in the hope of salvation is being tested right now. But the answer to that test is simple. My faith is in God. My faith is in Christ. And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you shall be also. So our goal is to be with Christ in eternity. Our goal is to be with those who have gone before us in Christ in eternity. That is what we hope for. That is what we strive to do. And folks, while we are here on this earth, we need to go out into the world and be that person of faith. We need to be that ambassador for God, for Christ, to bring others to that salvation which comes through Jesus Christ. That is how we should be. That is what we should be. Be like those who have gone before us. Our dear sweet sister Linda. Our great brother Ted. Be with those who have gone before us. Follow the example that they gave for us, so that we might be with them with Christ. Folks, there will be a great reunion day. Let's be in that reunion. You are the church. You are the kingdom. You have the Holy Spirit live in you. And you are the example for the rest of the world, for you are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Strive your life to be as Christ is. Strive your life to bring others to Him. Always seek those people who live in the dark, who need to be brought to light. For folks, that is what we desire. That is what we seek. Follow the example of our brothers and sisters that have gone on before, and go to where they are. Today, if you're not a part of the church, if you're not a part of the kingdom, you need to become part of that. You need to arise and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And I will tell you, there are people in this audience right now who have not done that. Do you not want to be with Christ forever? Do you not want to be in paradise? Do you not want to be with those who have gone on before? Do you not want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant"? The call is to you today. Why do you tarry? Arise, be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord. Now's the time to do it, all together.